Could we turn again to that portion of God's scripture that we were reading, to Genesis chapter 6, and reading again at verse 14. We'll take verse 14 as our text, although we will be looking more generally at the second half of this chapter. So Genesis chapter 6, reading again verse 14. The word of the Lord, make thee an ark of gopher wood. Room shalt thou make in the ark, and shalt pitch it within and without with pitch. Here we see the Lord's instruction given to Noah. The Lord's instruction. Previously, we were speaking about how Noah found grace in the eyes of the Lord. We talked about that last Sabbath evening. We spoke about how Noah found grace, and therefore this word from the Lord came. But now let us see the form in which that grace came. The word, specifically, that the Lord brought to Noah. And let's see, it was a call to build. Make thee an ark of gopher wood. This was Noah's great task, Noah's great mission, to build the ark. And what a formidable task it was. We don't really understand these dimensions because they're not expressed in the units of measurement that we are familiar with. The building that is described, this vast boat, is 450 feet in length. To put that in perspective, think of four football pitches, one after the other, in length. And this is a structure designed to cover that indescribably vast area. 75 feet wide, 45 feet high. This vast structure, this massive structure, such as we can scarcely imagine a boat of such dimensions. This was the task that Noah was given. Build this boat. The work of many years. A huge job, a huge responsibility. But see, therefore, a call to faith. A call to trust in God. God had given him a word to act upon. Now he needed to trust that that word was really true. You see, there's the parallel to ourselves, isn't there? We are called upon to live a life of faith in the Lord Jesus Christ, to build our lives on the hope, the everlasting hope of salvation by Jesus Christ, to live in the light of that hope. And yet that is challenging. It is difficult. We've been singing psalms expressing the challenge of that life. And so in a sense, we can bring this call to build to ourselves. For Noah, the call was to build the ark of God. For us, we too are called to build the ark of God. We are called to build a life in faith to the Lord Jesus Christ. And that then will be our focus for a few moments this evening. The life of faith in God's salvation. First of all, let's see that here we have a call to work. A call to work. Make thee an ark of gopher wood. Room shalt thou make in the ark, and shalt pitch it within and without with pitch. It's a call to work in faith. God has told him, there is a flood coming. This flood will destroy all life on the earth. Therefore, you must build this massive ark. Build this ark and you will be safe. Otherwise, you will perish in the flood. It's difficult, isn't it? There's no evidence. The sky is blue overhead. The land is all around. The sea is far away in the distance. It's never been underwater, this land. There are high mountains all around. These mountains have never been underwater. It is a call to believe God rather than to believe what seems to be the evidence of his own eyes. And yet God had spoken. And therefore, being a man of faith, being a man who, we're told in chapter 6, walked with God, so Noah started to build in that faith. Noah has given to us in the New Testament as an example of faith. For example, the writer to the Hebrews speaks in chapter 11 of Noah being warned of God of things not seen as yet, moved with fear, prepared an ark to the saving of his house, by the which he condemned the world and became heir of the righteousness, which is by faith. So you see, Noah is an example of faith, someone who lives their lives trusting in the Lord, trusting in his salvation, trusting in his word, rather than in the wisdom of this world and of this life. And you too are called to a life of faith. You're called to trust in the Lord Jesus Christ for salvation. You're called to trust in him as Savior, to live your life according to his law, according to the guidelines that he has given in Scripture. You're called to embrace the gospel message and to walk in that way. And you might say, but there's no evidence to support these claims that you're making. There's no evidence to say that there is a hell truly lying in front of us. There might be nothing after death at all. Now, Noah had no evidence at all, apart from the word that God had spoken to him. We have indicators. Of course we have indicators. We can look at the history of the Christian faith, see how it has advanced and grown, see how every force that has opposed itself to the advance of the Christian faith has been destroyed. The great Roman Empire, and that empire was conquered within 300 years by the advancing faith of the Christian church. How it has spread across the world into every country. How everywhere it has changed hearts, changed lives, worked in people's consciences to turn them from dead works to serve the living God. You can see the evidence even here within this church and the changed lives of the people around you. People like myself, people who are turned, you see, from sin to trust, however imperfectly, in the Lord Jesus Christ as Savior. We have the evidence of the Word of God, which stands sure in the face of all the attacks that are made against it by a world that hates and despises the truth of God. But of course, in the absolute sense, no, we don't have evidence. We cannot prove definitively and beyond doubt that there is a hell lying before every single person, that there is, by nature, no alternative to hell unless we trust in the Lord Jesus Christ for salvation. We cannot prove that, but we can assert it on the basis of Scripture, and we have many indicators to back that up. We have it a lot easier than Noah did. We have a lot more to go on than Noah did, and yet still, it is a life of faith. So you are called to a life of faith. You are called to, as it were, make thee an ark of gopher wood, to build in faith that the Lord is indeed faithful to the word of truth that he has given. And this, of course, is the Christian life, to trust in the Lord Jesus Christ and to build your life upon him. Have you even started that process of building as yet? You've been hearing these warnings. You've been hearing about hell. You've been hearing about judgment. Noah heard about it, didn't he? He heard about the flood coming. He heard this fearful message. Every living thing, every human being, every animal will be destroyed by this dreadful flood. And he acted. But oh, what about you? Are you acting? Are you starting to build? Or are you sitting back, sitting comfortable, not bothering, not taking it seriously? Oh, that we would start to build, that we would start to seek the Lord Jesus as Savior while yet there is time. We are called, you see, to work in faith, but we're also called to work in sanctification. Noah was called to a life of very real and very hard labor. He had to build a structure such as we can scarcely imagine, so colossal it was, without any modern machinery to help him at all. He had to walk into a forest one day and take out his axe and start to cut down the very first tree. He had to hack slowly at that tree until at last it gave way and fell down. He had to strip off the bark. He had to cut out the planks. And after several days of work, lay aside the first few planks that he had cut. And he had to do that again and again, maybe 10,000 times in the process of making that ark, probably over a period of decades. It was a life of hard labor that he was called to. And you and I must see that we are called to a life of hard labor if we are called to the Christian life. We are called to sanctification. That means being made holy. And that is something that calls for hard labor. You see, there is much sin in your life. Think of it as though you're looking out of the window of your house. Children, you're looking out the window and there's lots of trees in the way. They're blocking your view. And you look out that window at first and you think, oh dear, if I just chop down one or two of these trees, then I'll get a perfectly clear view. The sun will be shining in and no problem. And so it seems at the beginning of the Christian life, doesn't it? At that time, full of the joy of the Lord, you think, oh, it'll be an easy thing. I'll just have to root out these one or two pesky remaining sins. And after that, I'll enjoy the full floodlight of God's grace shining into my life. And so you get started on the first sin, hacking at that one tree. And maybe you overcome that one tree, at least in part, at least for a time. But the trouble is, you find you knock down one or two trees, and yet there is still this vast forest beyond. We have it easier than Noah, because we don't see the extent of the forest when we begin. Noah knew what a huge job he had. We think it's a little job. Until we actually start, and until we start to realize just how deep-rooted these sins are, and just how many there are, and how persistent they are, and how they grow back after we've chopped the first one down, and of how we have to go back and battle them again and again. This is a hard life, a hard fight that we are called to. We are called in Scripture to fight the good fight of faith, to lay hold on eternal life. The Christian life isn't about sitting back and relaxing and being comfortable. Yes, Jesus has paid the price for our sins. But now you see, we are called upon to strive ourselves against sin and to live in obedience to him. Make thee an ark of gopher wood. That is the challenge, as it were, for every believer here to build a life of faith in the Lord Jesus Christ. Called to work, you see, in faith, in sanctification, but called to work in perseverance. We are called to press on. So it was with Noah. Year after year, decade after decade, he had to press on with his mammoth task, building this vast ark. At first, people must have tried to be helpful. They must have said, no, Noah, you're building this in the wrong place. You should be building it on the beach right next to the water. And they would say, isn't that big enough, Noah? That's about big enough for your family. You don't need to build a fishing boat any bigger than that. And they would try to be helpful. But as years went by, and as that ark got bigger, how things must have changed. How it must have been the scorn, the mockery of the world. There's never been a drop of rain here. There's never been any lying water. There's no chance that this vast ark will ever float. You're a madman. You're a fool. You're living your life pursuing dreams rather than living for reality. And so there are challenges in the Christian life. Scorn, opposition, mockery, ridicule, hatred even. In a hostile world that hates the gospel, and it hates what we stand for. You know, children, I come from the island of Skye. And just out of the window of the house where I grew up in, we could look across to another island called Rasay, a little island just off the coast of Skye. It's got a population of about 150 people. And there was a remarkable man who lived on the island of Rasay about 30 or 40 years ago. His name was Callum MacLeod. And Callum MacLeod was a man of God. He was a godly, free Presbyterian man, and he lived in a remote part of the north of Rasay in a village called North Arnish. And to that village, there was no road. The council thought, it's such a small village, we won't bother building the road as far as that. So they put the road as far as Brochel Castle, which was a touristy site, and that was as far as the road went. But Callum MacLeod is a very determined man. And so he got his barrow, he got his pick, he got his spade. And by hand, he went out and he started to build a road. He started, it's believed, about 1964. And for about 15 years, until about 1979, he worked at that road, day in, day out, digging the foundations, laying the road surfacing, putting together a solid road by hand, on his own, without any mechanical help. An extraordinary achievement. And if you visit Rasay today, you can see Callum's Road. You can drive over it. Callum's Road, it's signposted there, the road that one man built by hand. Incredible, isn't it? And yet that's the perseverance that the Christian is called to press on regardless. Noah was on his own, wasn't he? There wasn't another godly man in his generation. He was alone, just his own immediate family members, his own sons and their wives. They were the only ones willing to help him and to stand beside him. Noah was alone, but he pressed on and he persevered. And the word of God says, he that shall endure unto the end, the same shall be saved. This is what you are called to if you wish to be saved, to persevere unto the end, building that life in subjection and submission to the Lord Jesus Christ. The life, you see, is his. He has purchased it. If you're one of his, he has died for you. He's paid the price for you in his own blood. And so you are his. And in giving him your life, you are simply giving him what he has purchased already. You are giving him your faithful service because he has purchased you and paid the price for all your sins. So then each one of us is called upon to work. That then is our first point. But let's see secondly, a call to preach. A call to preach. Make thee an ark of gopher wood. Here was something that would stand as a wooden sermon to all the people of that locality. Here was a continual message in the building of this ark. It was a call to preach righteousness. And this is made explicit for us in the New Testament, because in 2 Peter chapter 2, we're told that God spared not the old world, but saved Noah, the eighth person, a preacher of righteousness, bringing in the flood upon the world of the ungodly. Does that mean that Noah was standing outside every day while he was working, preaching away? Perhaps, we don't know. But it's not necessary to use words to communicate that message. As Francis, St. Francis is supposed to have said, preach the gospel at all times and when necessary, use words. Our actions can sometimes speak louder than any words that we can use. Noah was proclaiming to his generation, here is true righteousness. I have been given the word from the Lord, therefore I will follow that. And so Noah, as we're told in chapter 6, he was a man who was just, who was perfect in his generations, who walked with God. And all of his life, every aspect of it, preached righteousness to his generation. His whole life was a sermon, and yet who listened to that sermon? No one but his own family. Isn't that the marvel of it? He was a preacher, and he had 7 converts, and that was all. He preached, and that was all the response. You may well ask yourself, what is my life saying? What message is it preaching to the world around me? Does my life just say, I love myself, I love my own pleasure, I do what pleases me? Is that the message that's going out? Or are you saying, I love the Lord who made me, I love the Lord who bought me, and therefore I serve Christ. Therefore my life is given over to the service of the Lord Jesus Christ. I live for him, and so I strive for holiness. I strive for purity. I strive to build my life upon the rock that is Christ. Oh, what message is your life sending out? Are you preaching righteousness? Noah was called to preach judgment. He was preaching judgment with every blow of his hammer, with every sound from that building site. The message was going out to his whole civilization. Your end is near. The judgment of the Lord is coming upon you. The ark is being built. And once that ark is complete, time has run out. Judgment is approaching. And that was the message of the building of the ark, a solemn message. And yet, if you are truly living for Christ, if you are modeling holiness in your life, then you're sending out the same message to all around you. The message of the judgment day that is to come, the message that God will judge sinners, and that you are living your life in the light of that coming judgment. You are preparing to meet your God. Think of it. Is that the message going forth from your life? Is that what your life says to the world? I am preparing to meet my God. I am preparing for the life that is to come. Oh, let us think of it. That time when, as Peter says, the day of the Lord will come as a thief in the night, in the which the heavens shall pass away with a great noise, and the elements shall melt with fervent heat, the earth also, and the works that are therein shall be burned up. This world will not last. It is not forever. There is a world to come that does endure. And that is the world that we must be building for. The world that lasts forever. Judgment is coming, but there is safety in the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ. And that brings us, you see, to see that Noah was also preaching salvation. Yes, he was preaching righteousness. Yes, he was preaching judgment. But he was preaching salvation. He was building an ark, a place of safety, a place that would survive when the judgment of God came. His ark was a continual challenge to the people around him. Would they be found in the place of safety at the end? He built an ark with an open door, with a door ready to receive any who would come. And at last we're told, God shut the door. A solemn thought, isn't it? God shut the door. Noah kept it open. Noah wanted people to come in. But at last the time had come and the door was shut. Oh, fearful thought. Are we truly seeking for God's salvation? Are we truly looking for everlasting life? Will we be found in Christ when it is time for us to meet with our God? Think of what we were reading in 1 Peter chapter 3, speaking of those souls now in hell, now in prison, which sometime were disobedient, when once the long-suffering of God waited in the days of Noah, while the ark was a-preparing, wherein few, that is eight souls, were saved by water. You see what it says? As long as the ark was preparing, God was being patient. God was waiting. God was leaving that opportunity of salvation open. Once the ark was finished, then the door was shut and the opportunity was lost forever. So then, you are called to seek salvation and you must seek it. But if you're God's people and if you're living for God, you're called to preach salvation. And as we've already said, that salvation is preached by your life, by your conduct, by who you live for and how you show that you are living for eternity and living for Christ. Now, is there not also a duty of proclamation? When the scripture calls Noah a preacher, does it not indicate that he warned those around him of the coming judgment and urged them to join him in building that ark. He urged, he preached, he spoke, and so must we. We must be faithful in speaking to our near ones and our dear ones of our hope in Christ. Not harshly, not cruelly, not vindictively, graciously, lovingly, compassionately, in season and out of season, giving an answer for the hope that is within us. Oh, that we would be faithful in speaking that word in season, and that the Lord would bless it to the salvation of souls. As the prophet Isaiah says, "Thine ears shall hear a word behind thee, saying, this is the way, walk ye in it, when ye turn to the right hand, and when ye turn to the left." And you might think, oh, well, that's the voice of the Holy Spirit. Not at all in the context. It's speaking of human preachers. So there is a place for a human warning. This is the way, walk ye in it. Oh, let each one of us be faithful to say to our near and dear ones, this is the way of life. This is the ark of God. This is what he has prepared, salvation in the Lord Jesus Christ. A call then to preach. And let's see thirdly, a call to salvation. A call to salvation. Make thee an ark of gopher wood. Room shalt thou make in the ark, and shalt pitch it within and without with pitch. It's a call to make a safe place, rooms that will provide accommodation for those who will enter. Pitch to make that boat waterproof, safe and secure against the coming flood. A safe place. And so it is that the Lord offers to us salvation in himself, in covenant, a sworn promise from God. Noah had such a promise. We see it given to us in verse 18 of our passage. Says the Lord to Noah, "But with thee will I establish my covenant, and thou shalt come into the ark, thou and thy sons and thy wife and thy sons' wives with thee." Thou shalt come in. This will be a safe place. The Lord had promised safety to Noah. And so it is with you and I. The Lord has promised, has covenanted to save us if we are found in Jesus Christ. If we are at the last found trusting in him. Oh, let us too come. Let us believe in the Lord Jesus Christ and so be saved. Let us find that the Lord is faithful to that promise, and that when we come, he will be gracious and faithful to receive us and to welcome us into his salvation. He will not turn us away, but he will receive all them that call upon him. And so we have salvation in Christ. Christ, you see, is pictured by this ark. This ark is waterproof. It can survive the storms. It can survive the waves. Inside the ark is safety. It is able to survive when the judgment of God rains down. And so you and I are called to come to Jesus Christ. He is the safe place. He has already borne the judgment of God. It's already been poured down on his head on the cross of Calvary. All the wrath of God against sin, the infinite weight of God's anger and hatred of sin poured upon that head, and he bore it. Hour after hour he suffered and he endured, until at last he could say, "It is finished." He had done the work that was committed to him to do, and at last he gave up the ghost, having triumphed, having endured, to pay the price for the sins of all his people. The wrath of God has been spent upon the hull of Christ. And so that vessel will never sink. It is secure as a rock. It is stable. It is secure. And you and I are called to enter into him. There are rooms in Christ. There is space in Christ. There is salvation and safety in Christ. As the Apostle Paul says, "For God hath not appointed us to wrath, but to obtain salvation by our Lord Jesus Christ, who died for us, that whether we wake or sleep, we should live together with him. Oh, is that true of you? Has the Lord Jesus died for you? Do you know that? Are you trusting in him? Has he died for you? Borne the wrath for you? Is he your only hope of safety? And see, therefore, as a result, the salvation of the world, not just Noah, but the animals, the birds, even the reptiles, all of the living creatures, safe in the ark, ready, prepared for the new world, cleansed from the stain of sin that would be there once the floodwaters had abated. And as we're told in verse 22, thus did Noah, according to all that God commanded him, so did he. He made the preparation necessary for the new world to come. You and I are called to prepare for a new world, for a new heavens and a new earth, wherein dwelleth righteousness. That new world is coming, and we too must prepare for it. We await God's inheritance. We look for it, and God's inheritance is found in Jesus Christ. Oh, that each one of us would be found trusting in Jesus, walking in Jesus, loving the Lord Jesus, looking to him for his blessed salvation. The call to build the ark of God. Just as we close, a couple of final thoughts of application. First of all, will you obey as Noah obeyed? The gospel goes forth, and it goes forth as a command. Believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, and thou shalt be saved. We're told that Noah obeyed. He did as God commanded him, and so he lived to enter that new world that had been purified. Will you obey? Will you repent from sin and believe in the Lord Jesus and find in him everlasting life? Will you trust God's plan of salvation? What is that plan? That the Lord Jesus dies in our place. That he is the great substitute. That he has died so that we need not die. That is his plan. That is the gospel in a nutshell. Will you trust in Jesus Christ to die in your place, so that you need not die? Oh, look unto him, find in him salvation. There is none other name given under heaven among men whereby we must be saved. And so let us build our lives of faith upon the Lord Jesus Christ. Make thee an ark of gopher wood. So let us build faithfully, diligently, perseveringly through this life, trusting in Christ and waiting upon him for his blessed and everlasting salvation. Amen. May God bless to us his thoughts. May God bless to us his words. Let us now come before him in prayer. Let us pray. O holy and blessed God, we worship thee and magnify thee for the wonder of this gospel message. Oh, it is precious. Each time it is precious. How we wonder at it. How we glory at the ark of God, open, prepared for us. We give thanks for thy love, and look now for thy presence and for thy grace to sustain us. O Lord, work within us mightily, and draw us unto thyself with cords of love. In Jesus' precious name, amen.